Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to preach on some things to remember. It is going to be about the Lord's Supper. And so we've taken a break from our series. Remember, we've been in a series. Last week, I preached message number 2. And then the following week, which last week was on what is the mind of Christ. Very important message, and I don't think I got that on Sermons Audio. I forgot all about that. I'll have to get to that, put that on my to-do list. But next week, Lord willing, we'll be on what does it mean, or what did Christ mean when he says you must take up your cross and follow him. What does the Bible mean about that? I'm sure you've heard that phrase. And so we'll talk about that. I will preach about that, Lord willing, next week. But this morning, we'll be on some things to remember on the importance of the Lord's Supper, why you should take it and be a part of it. It's a biblical thing. And so many times we view the scriptures through an Americanized mindset. Now, I'm not saying that to be disrespectful to America. I love America. I love how it was founded, and I love the Christian principles, so on and so forth. But the whole world does not evolve around America. And one of the keys to understanding the Bible is you need to be viewing the Bible from Jerusalem, God's seat. That's where God's seat is. The apple of God's eye is the nation of Israel. And so if you want to understand prophecy better, you need to be viewing it in light of the Mediterranean Sea and the nation of Israel, not America. Not America. And so a lot of times people, they do that. Remember this last eclipse, you know, everybody was like, oh, yeah, it's hitting, so what was it, 7 cities with the name Nineveh in America. This is judgment. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I took a nap during that time. Why? Oh, well, you had Haggai and the boys as all preaching about, you know, all this prophecy. I got news for you. If it was over the nation of Israel, okay, I might pay attention to that. Over America, nah. The way we're going, we ain't going to make it to the tribulation in this country, you know, this nation. I really believe that it'll end up becoming a third world country. We're about there now in the major cities. And so hang on. I think the ride's going to get a little bumpy. What you see going on these college campuses, they're actually anti-Israel. They want to kill Jews. And I got news for you. Now, they're going to grow a brain in there, and they're going to tag Christians in with that also. It's coming to a town near you. Hang on. It's starting to heat up. We're getting close to the catching away of the saints. I'm listening for a trumpet sound. I really am. I thought I heard one. It was a Friday morning. It was the train, but I thought I heard that train come through Morristown. And it went, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And I'm like, oh, I'm looking. I'm listening for that third. I'm like, and then I heard that. Wah! And I was like, oh. It's just the train. I was drinking coffee. I'm thinking to myself, this is it. This is it. That's that trump. This is it. This is it. And it wasn't. But that's what I'm listening for. It's the trumpet. Now, let's read some scripture. Let's begin in verse 1, and we'll jump around a little bit. I'll read a couple verses here because we need to set some things here. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So he's commanding us to follow the Apostle Paul. He's addressing the church here in Corinth, a very carnal church. But they were still saved, born again. It's carnal, but they were saved. He says, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances, plural. There are two. It's water baptism and the Lord's Supper. You say, well, what about foot washing? Well, foot washing doesn't show up in the early church. Christ did use it, but it was not an ordinance. He used it, and by the way, all you foot washers, I don't know if there's none in here. Yeah, there is. Holy Spirit's told me there is, but it's okay. It's okay. If you believe in that and you're a woman, you're out. There's no foot washing of women having their foot washed in the Bible. Just like there's no lady apostles. Foot washing, and what he did there was to teach a lesson. He told them, he says, what I do, you don't understand now. So was it the foot washing he was teaching them? No. It was servant leadership. So foot washing is not one of the ordinances as we get into the local New Testament church. Water baptism and the Lord's Supper is. They are commanded. And an ordinance is a rule or a law that's been given that you must obey that has a positive result connected to it. Okay? So it has a positive result. It's going to, God's going to bless you, as in water baptism. It's the first step in the life of a believer. It's the first step of obedience. Lord's Supper, it's a step of obedience, but there's more to it, and we're going to learn about that this morning. Now, we got to cover a little rough water. Verse 3, but he's going to set some order here. Now, watch this, but I would have you know, he said, I want you to know this, that the head of every man is Christ. And all the ladies said, amen. That's right, your husband has a head over him, and it's supposed to be Christ. And he needs to be encouraged to be in subjection to Christ. Okay, now here's the rough part, ladies. And the head of the woman is the man. Yeah, and all the ladies said amen. Yeah, okay, all right. And the head of Christ is God. Now, ladies, because I was raised in this, and I'll help you out this morning, you can be as much in subjection to your husband is to Christ. Does it sound like I just give you an excuse to sin? Well, I'm saying, men, here, let me give you, this is marriage counseling 101. This is a sidebar. If you want your wife more in subjection to you, you need to be more in subjection to Christ. And then read Ephesians chapter 5. I get that so much. Well, Bridger, my wife's not in subjection to me. Well, are you to Christ? What do you mean by that? Yep, I know. Yep. Let me put it to you like this. Who did God take it up with there in the garden? Eve or Adam? Adam. Imagine that. So men, your head is Christ. You're to be in obedience to Christ and his commands. And then the wives, the head of the wife is the husband. Not, and again, don't Americanize this. Don't Americanize this. Oh, that means I gotta be beat down. I've heard it all, ladies. No, you're culturally wrong. Your biblical hermeneutics is wrong. He's talking about partnering together in a yoke. He's talking about, remember, in this day, they were in an agricultural age, and they didn't have a Ford 8N tractor, one of my favorite little tractors. They didn't have that, and so they had animals. And so they would put them in a yoke, and they would pull together. But in every animal team, whether it be a dog sled team, a mule team, an ox team, there's always a lead animal. It's the animal that takes that first step, and the other follows in lockstep with it. What he's talking about. That's the symbiology that he's trying to convey to you. So don't Americanize it. Don't go like, well, you know, I don't. Just stick with the book and the culture in which it was written. That's what he's talking about there, partnering together. So don't overdo that. Men, anytime I get on that, the men, they go, hey, what I told you, get my glass of tea. And it's like, that's not really what he's talking about. Now, it's a good thing that you would do that. And I'm spoiled rotten. And I found out why is I'm so spoiled rotten. If Jenny passes away, nobody could stand me. And I mean, I am spoiled rotten. And so that's just the way it is. We need to spoil each other. And she's spoiled rotten, too. She's so spoiled rotten, nobody could stand her. And that's the way it should be. Spoil your spouse. I didn't mean to get off on all that. Come down to verse 17. Let's get into this message. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. So he's not happy with something here. That you come together not for the better, but for the worse. He says, so when we come together, we're coming together to edify one another for the better, not for the worse. And he says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. So we shouldn't have this division, especially doctrinal divisions. I mean, if you just don't believe, right? Then find a church that lines up with what you think you believe. Or get this Bible, I can always stand to be corrected if you got chapter and verse, and show me, and we'll talk about it. But don't sit there in defiance or division. And that's what was going on here. And so they were coming together, but now he's going to really spell this thing out. Watch what he does. For there must be also heresies among you. Now, a heresy is your wrong opinion about a biblical, fundamental biblical doctrine. Now, watch what the heresy was here. He says that they which are approved may be made manifest among you when you come together, therefore, into one place. That's the church. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You're like, oh, so we're not to take the Lord's Supper? No, read on. Read on. Get the context. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. So what did he just say? He says what they were doing is they had turned the Lord's Supper into a feast. But only the people that brought their own food was allowed to partake of the feast. And so there was poor people in this group too. And so they come and they didn't have a lot. They just barely had enough food to sustain them. They didn't have enough food to bring to a gathering. And they wouldn't let them eat. Now that's wrong, and he's getting on them for that. And by the way, the rule is around here, I don't care if you bring something or not. Now my church members and my people that's been visiting with us more than 6 months, when we have our homecoming or a church function, you bring enough to feed your family and another family of like size. And here's why. We're anticipating that there could be people that are guests or that are visitors and they didn't know to bring something, and they're free to eat also. That's biblical. Now, when I first come into the church, and I apologize, some of you that's been with me forever, but I just find it amazing. There were some things I'd never dealt with in the ministry until I got in this church. This church, we just about had a falling out in the first 12 months because there was people sitting in this church that didn't want people that didn't bring food not to eat at the homecoming. I sat in the deacons meeting discussing that, and I had a fight on my hands. Now, I would name those people, but I won't. And I'm like, we're not doing this. And he's like, well, you never said nothing. Nope, I didn't, because I told him I put my foot down. That ain't happening. Now, as easygoing as I am, there'll be some things I'll be a bulldog on. And that's one of them. And so I'll call your mind. Remember when I got into the pulpit on Sunday morning and said, now look, next week we're going to have a homecoming. If you don't have any food in your home, if all you got is sardines, I want you to bring the sardines. Remember that? Remember I said that? If all you got is peanut butter and crackers, you bring your peanut butter and crackers. You put it on that table in there, and you're free to eat anything. And if you don't have anything to bring, you get with me. I'll buy you some beans, or I'll buy you something, and you can bring those. That's how I handled that. I handled that with just a little wisdom. But I've had to deal with that in this church. And we don't deal with that anymore. Everybody knows you. I don't care who it is. I don't care whether you brought something or not. There's plenty of food. I'm tired of eating all the leftovers. They're good, but it's not doing much for my weight, and I'm having trouble with my knees, and they're saying I got to go on a diet. So there's always plenty of food, and that's what was going on here. They said, well, if you didn't bring nothing, you don't get to partake. And they turned this thing into a feast. Now, look what they were doing. Here's why they were doing that. Verse 22, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? That's why they were doing it. They wanted to point the people out that didn't have as much as they did. You've heard it. There was a little clique. There's a little elite rich clique that ruled the roost. No, we don't do that. We're not shaming people. You know, I grew up on the poor side of things. And, you know, we didn't have all the money to buy fancy clothes, new clothes, or to go to all the church functions, or to bring big fancy food. And that's wrong. It's a disgrace. And God doesn't like it when you're trying to shame people that don't have as much as you. Now, I didn't have that in the message, but it bared to be preached on just a little bit, and we're not having a problem with it. We don't. We got the cream of the crop here. Some of you have been with me from day one. I've been here 12 years this December, and we've weathered a lot of things together, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We don't think that way. We're not, we don't think that way. We're not that way when we come to each other's homes. We're very hospitable, and we're not looking to try to shame people that don't have what we got. We just thank God we got what God has given us. He says, I praise you not in this thing. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord. He says, the Lord spoke to him about this, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Here's the message. This do in remembrance of me. Okay, no foot washing there. He would have spelled that out if he wanted you to do that. Remember that. Follow your Bible. If he wanted you to have a foot washing service before you took the Lord's Supper, he would have put that in there. He'd have got on them for that. But you never find that, because that was a lesson Jesus used. He used the illustration. Don't make a Bible doctrine out of an illustration. He used the illustration to teach servant leadership. He doesn't say anything about that here. There's a thing in the Bible called progressive revelation. He didn't spell everything out. He told Peter, he says, what I do, you don't understand now, but you will. Is that, am I right? He did say those words. So he's pulling it out now. He's helping them understand now what all was going on. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, and remember to me. Let's pray and get in the message. Our gracious Father, we come, we thank you. And Lord, help me. Help me to be able to deliver this message, and help me to edify the brethren and the sisters. Lord, I want to focus on growing grass and helping us to grow in grace and knowledge, and help us to grow in unity and love for one another, because we're going to need it in the days to come. Our prayer is that you come quickly, Lord Jesus. Be with those that couldn't be with us today, and I know they wanted to. I think of Sister Carmella. And Lord, we're asking that her kidney functions come back to normal. Be with those that are out of town. Be with those that are sick, that are under the weather. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And so we see here, this heresy was, they had a wrong opinion. Many people, they build opinions, and it's based on a fundamental doctrine of the Bible, but it's a wrong opinion. That's what a heresy is. You have a snippet of the truth. Doing and taking the Lord's Supper is right, but when you turn it into a feast to shame people that don't have anything, it's wrong. And so he lays that out. And they were making a mock of this thing. They had abused it. The first thing, here's the first point I want you to get. Today we need to remember his broken body. Is that not what he said in verse 24? He says, I need you to remember my broken body. He wants us to remember Calvary, so we're going to take the communion immediately following the service for those that was not able to take it, because we want to be reminded and never forget about Calvary. What Jesus did for us, he did a lot. I don't care what the Pope was trying to say. He said a few weeks ago that the cross was a failure. I don't know what context he was in. People running crazy with that. I know they got some issues, but let me tell you something. The cross was not a failure. The cross is how we're getting in. There was a sacrifice, and he says, I want you to remember the cross. Don't forget the cross. Remember it, of what the price and what it took to redeem you and me. The shame he bore for mankind. He was ridiculed. He was spit upon and humiliated. By partaking of the bread, we're in communion with Christ and his body. And that word communion means fellowship, an interchange or a transaction. It's a state of giving and receiving. I need you to get that. So the word communion means an act of giving and receiving. We're giving our submission, we're giving and we're remembering, and then God's going to give us something. We're going to receive something from God. That's why it's important to take the Lord's Supper. If you go over to chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, just back over, chapter 10, verse 16. And he says this in verse 15, I speak as to wise men. You judge you what I say. He said, so you should have enough wisdom about you to understand what I'm getting ready to say. Watch what he does. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? He's in the context of the communion, the Lord's Supper. And what does he call it? A cup of blessing. I learned something while I was out of town. It's good to get away from time to time. And when I get away, I get a renewed perspective. And I was studying this message. I'd never seen it before. I want you to understand, I grew up in a Christian home. We take the Lord's Supper. But that phrase, the cup of blessing, popped out at me. And let's finish the verse. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And I looked up the word communion, and it meant the act of giving and receiving. And so I'm thinking, well, in my Americanized brain, it's not making no sense. And then I remembered. I remember Isaac. Remember Isaac? Remember Jacob and Esau? And though Isaac thought he was coming to the end of his days. And so what he did, he said, Esau, I need you to go out and get some venison and make it real good, savory-like, such as I love, so I can give you the blessing. In the Jews, and Isaac had got it from Abraham, and it had been passed down. And so you got to think about this in the Jewish culture. The biblical Jewish culture is God's culture. That's where they got their culture. It's from God. And so here's how it's laid out. Those boys, they were waiting on their father to pass down a blessing. Now remember Esau, he despised his birthright. He was a rebel. He sold his birthright to Jacob. Remember that? But Jacob, he was there, he was obedient. There were some problems at home. But both those boys were waiting on the blessing of the father. Now remember what happened when Isaac blessed Jacob, and Jacob deceived Isaac, and then Esau comes in, he starts weeping bitter tears. He's like, oh, father, please give me the blessing. Take his blessing back. Remember that? And Isaac said, I can't take it back. Once it's been given, it's given. So this culture and this Bible was written with that culture in mind. Here's what's going on. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're to remember his broken body. Verse 25 in our text says, we're to remember the blood sacrifice. By his blood are we justified. Without the blood of Christ, there's nothing we can do. We can't save ourselves. But he calls this cup, that blood, a cup of blessing. Here's why. When we come in obedience, because Christ is our head, right? We call him our Heavenly Father, correct? We make up the body of Christ. When we partake of the cup and the bread of the Lord's Supper, we're saying, I am coming into submission to my head, which is Christ. I'm coming into fellowship with Christ, and I'm going to give him the obedience, the submission, and the honor, because he says, honor thy father, right, and mother, that he deserves. And then God says, I'm going to give you a blessing. Now, if you totally look at the scripture through Americanized mindset, we don't care what our parents have. We got the almighty plastic dollar, remember? You know, we don't care. So we don't honor our fathers, our mothers. So we could care less. We're more like the prodigals. We demand from our father, you need to give us the goods now. Well, that's the wrong mindset, but that's an Americanized mindset. We don't need our parents. We could care less. Well, not in this culture. You needed your parents. You need to honor your parents. You have to love your parents. And they've worked hard for what they got. And you need to come into submission and to come in to that obedience and that honor, and then wait on that blessing. That's what Christ does for us. And so what happens when we refuse to take the Lord's Supper? What we're saying is, one, I'm not coming in submission to Christ, my head. And Colossians 1, verse 18 says, he's the head. I'm not coming in submission to my head. And I don't need God's blessing. That's what you're symbolically saying. Now, you might not be thinking that, But symbolically, this is why he commands it. It's an ordinance. And he says, no, look, you, I don't know about you, but I need God's blessing. I want God's blessing. I can't do it without God's blessing. And God says, if you honor me in this thing and submit to your head and to come into that obedience and that fellowship of the church and the body of Christ, when you partake of this and remember my broken body and what I've done for you and remember the blood atonement, I, because communion means an act of giving and receiving, you give me that and I will give you and you can receive this blessing. And that cup, it doesn't turn into the blood of Christ. That's what the Catholics believe. They believe in transubstantiation. They believe that the grape juice, we use grape juice, so sorry, no wine, no fermented, that's got leaven in it. And we use unleavened bread. It doesn't turn into the literal body and blood of Christ. That's transubstantiation. That's cannibalism. That's not in your Bible. But what it does turn into is a cup of blessing because of your obedience. It's that important. Now let's read on just a little more, because we're going to learn some other things to remember. So I need to have that in your mind. When you will not or refuse to partake or to put forth that effort to try to take it, that's what you're symbolically saying to God. Because God watches our actions. Oh, so you don't need my cup of blessing. Ain't we so American? We're like, I don't need no blessing. I go get me a loan. Man, I don't need all that. I got news for you. I need God's blessing. And I don't mind at all to submit to my head to Christ, because he's got it. He's got it all. He's got the beginning and the ending and everything in the middle all figured out, and it's in control. There's sometimes I got weak faith, and there's sometimes I get a little shaky, like, God, you got this? Come on, God, come on. It's like, hey, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And like, oh, all right. This is why we do this, to remember his body, to remember the blood. But then, verse 28, I didn't read it for the sake of time, but let's look at it now. But let a man examine himself. I'm back in 1 Corinthians 11. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Remember to examine yourself. This is serious business. God takes the cross seriously. So should we. If God, and those, let me give you this. If God sacrificed his son for sin, he doesn't want you playing in it. Now, we're all sinners. We sin every day. I can't get through a day without sinning, and neither can you. Neither can you. So what do we got to do? We got to examine ourselves every day. You might want to do it at the end of the day. I got to do it a couple of times a day. About after breakfast, you know, if the coffee's late, then I'll have to examine myself. I'm done thinking bad thoughts, you know. And then at the end of the day, Lord, forgive me. I've not really lived up to your expectation today. And forgive me and put it under the blood. You know where you've messed up with God. But he says, you need to remember to examine yourself. God doesn't want us living and playing in sin. He saved us, the Bible says, from our sin. And then he says in verse 31, remember to judge yourself. Look at verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Go back up, look verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, we don't want to eat or drink unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause many are weak, sick, and many sleep. Preacher, I just don't know what's going on in my life. You've not taken the Lord's Supper once since I've been here. I just can't give, I can't, I understand. You are refusing God's blessing. You won't examine yourself. You won't judge yourself. And so what happens when we won't judge ourselves and examine ourselves? God says, I'm stepping in. If you won't take care of it, I will. Kind of like kids at home, they won't clean their room. And when mama comes in, mama might be going through a little PMS or something. And she just starts throwing stuff away. You've apparently got too much stuff, and you can't keep your room clean. Guess what? It's out of here. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. One of the advantages of having been pastor 12 years, I know things. Look, you would never have to sit down in a counseling session with me. Just make the services. I counsel right from the pulpit. And so Mama goes on a tirade and just pitches it. Oh, but I need that. I've had that since I was 5. You've never used it. The stuffed animals got fleas, and I didn't know that was possible. Now I'm over-exaggerating. But you know what I mean. That's what God does with us. He said, look, you've got too much sin and stuff in your life. Guess what? God says, I'll make you sick. I'll make you weak. And some, he says, you know what? If I can't trust you to act right on your own when I send you to your friend's house or out in the world, you can just come on home with me. Have you ever had that conversation with your parents? You go over and you make a fool out of yourself at your friend's house, and their mama wasn't as nice and tolerant as you thought she was, and she called your mama, and she says, your child's a monster. Oh, boy. Guess what? Well, I know what my mama done. I'll be right over. And jerked you back to the house and took care of business. That's what God does with us. So we got to remember to examine ourselves, remember to judge ourselves. But verse 33, look at this. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. You see that? We got to remember to tarry one for another and to give us opportunity to make things right with God. We're to give each other time to examine ourselves and to judge ourselves. And aren't you glad you don't have to, I don't have to get in a booth here and you all come up to me and you get things right and you tell me everything. Aren't you so glad? That's not Bible anyway, because I just blackmail you with it, just like they do. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. And so in the privacy of your heart, you can do business with God and ask God, God, forgive me of that. Lord, I want to take this supper, and we need to tarry one for another. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. It's not a real long service. But the thing I wanted to emphasize is it's the importance of taking this is to remember, but it's saying, it symbolizes, I'm in submission to my head. Christ is my head. I'm in the body. I've not forsaken the body, the church. And I want to give God the honor he deserves, but I need God's blessing. Because he calls it the cup of blessing, the cup of communion. It is so important. And so that's what's going to happen today immediately following service. But right now, if I can get every head bowed, you can stay seated. Every head bowed and the eyes closed. I need a song played softly in the background.